This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
Look this morning at the topic of the calling that God has placed upon us as parents and as individuals. As a parent, the call is to prepare powerful leaders. Powerful leaders. To us individually, there is a commission and a call of God for us individually to become powerful leaders, anointed of God. I don't know that I've looked at this familiar story before in this light. And I want to just caution you in advance, because of your familiarity with the story of David and Goliath, do not diminish the message that God wants us to hear. As I was in the Father's presence and I was constrained to look at this passage, and everything this morning that's been happening, it's been happening and it's happening kind of quick, and it's like a hallelujah. And as the Father was speaking to me about this passage, I sensed that God was saying we need to prepare for this harvest because there has to be harvesters. And so whether it is a justice that's a brand new baby, or whether it is a David that is here this morning, or an Andrew, or Janiah, or Janessa, or any of the rest of our children that are here today, or whether it's each one of us, I want to share with you quickly a story that Jesus gives from Matthew chapter 20. In Matthew chapter 20, beginning with verse 1 through 16, in this passage, verses 1 through 16, Jesus gives this story. In the marketplace, early in the morning, there were people waiting to be hired. It doesn't give us the exact time. Maybe it was daybreak. And he hired, this man has a harvest to bring in. He's a farmer. He has a crop to bring in. And so he hires those that's in the marketplace. He goes back a couple hours later. It's 9 o'clock now, and he hires those who are there in the marketplace at that time. And then he comes back a few hours later. It's now about lunchtime. And at lunchtime, he hires everyone that's hanging out in the square to go work in his fields. And then mid-afternoon comes, it's around 3 o'clock, and again he goes to the marketplace. He has a big harvest to bring in. There's a big harvest. And so he then hires those that are still there. And then later, he goes back. Now it's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and the day is almost over. It's going to be dark soon, but in the market he finds some that are still standing around. And he said, "Why are you here and why are you not working?" They said, "No one hired us." So he said, "I will come." So he took them to his field. They worked about an hour, and then when it was time for the salary to be paid, it was a day labor. So at the end of the day, everybody's going to get paid. The owner of the field, instead of inviting those who started early in the morning first, he said, I want to start paying those who came last. He said, I want to start by not paying the first ones, but the last ones. And so he said, I want to pay these that have just come at the end of the day. And he pays them a full day's wage. They obviously were shocked and pleased with that. Then as he moves up through the day, he continues to pay all of the other workers exactly the same pay. Now, you know, if you move up a couple hours, it's not such a big deal, but you move beyond 12 o'clock and you move on up to maybe 9 o'clock or move to those who have been working since daybreak. And when it's their turn to come up, they're thinking, well, surely I've been out here through the heat of the day. I have done a lot more work than anybody else. I deserve more. And then the owner of the vineyard gave them the same exact pay. Now they were ticked off. And so the owner says, do I not have the right to bless who I want to bless? Now listen to this, because this is going to be an important point this morning. The owner says, can I not give whatever I want to give, however I want to give it, to whoever I want to give it? This is McLean's translation, okay? So they ended up leaving, they were disgruntled, and then Jesus says something. He says this, that the last many now who are first, he talks about the first and the last. He says, many now who are first will be last. And that's not all he said. Many who are last will be first. Now, when you read that story, I don't know what you hear, but let me tell you what I hear. I hear right away that if you are a little late coming to Jesus, it's not too late. Maybe someone's watching today. Maybe somebody will watch tomorrow. Maybe someone will listen on the radio. Maybe someone looks over your life. Maybe some of you look over your life and you would say, well, I've known better than I've lived. I knew what I should do, maybe, in a much better way than I've actually lived my life. Or maybe you would look at your life and say, well, there's not one thing I would change. I'd like to meet you after the service, after you repented of lying, okay? Because all of us have things in our lives that if we could go back to the early dawn of our life and change, we would probably change at least one thing. But Jesus is saying something about timing. That as we near the end of the day and the harvest time is almost up, that God is going to be looking for labor, somebody that will serve Him in the last moments of daylight. And maybe all of you are those who started early, and so praise be to God. But some who are maybe listening today saying, oh man, half of my life is over. A third of my life is over. A part of my life is over. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying. As the harvest time is being shortened and it's beginning to get dark, talking prophetically, because the Lord is coming back, God is going to be at work to bring in those who will commit themselves to Him for the last great push before the darkness falls. And so this means it's not too late. Remember one day talking with a young man. I was a young man at the time. I was a believer at the time. But he said, Jonathan, I believe I have sinned the unpardonable sin. Oh, you've heard about that, right? The devil reminds almost every Christian of the unpardonable sin. That's the one, if you do that, there's no hope for you. And this young man is talking to me and he's saying, I'm afraid that I somehow blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. And he was so burdened by this, and we talked. Well, I'll tell you, I too have had the devil tell me in my years of rebellion that I had sinned the unpardonable sin, that I too had blasphemed against the Holy Spirit, not just by my reckless language, but by my reckless behavior. And yet I found out something. The love of God never had left me. It pursued me. There were so many times that God had delivered me from death, even as a young man, before I was born again, and continues up to this last year, as you know. But that night, 15 years old, when God began to speak to me and call me to surrender my life to Him, there was no altar call except in here. I don't know if anyone else had an altar call, but I had an altar call going on inside of my heart, because God was saying to me, Jonathan, I have been with you since you were conceived in the womb. I have followed you every second of your life. I protected you and guarded you. I have been the one that's kept you alive. Will you now surrender your life to me? I had someone sitting next to me that asked me, are you ready? See, that's what started all this. Somebody asked me, are you ready to surrender your life to Christ? And I realized that night that God had protected my life because He had a plan for my life. So whether you are 2 months old or whether you are 90 this morning, if you're still alive and you're in the marketplace and it's not dark yet, you're still breathing, then God is still saying, will you come? And not just believe in me, but will you work my vineyard? Jesus did not invite the disciples to be passive believers. He called them to be passionate pursuers. He didn't call them to casually enjoy and hang out in the crowd and eat the biscuits, the bread and the fish. He asked them to come and learn how to break the bread and break the fish and give the fish away. I believe in this time this morning, I sense this so heavy. I sense that we are in the dusk hours as a nation. I sense 2,000 years ago Jesus died. Here we are. I sense that this is an opportune time, but it is a serious time. The opportunity is huge, but the timing is short. And the invitation is to not come and watch, but come and follow. Where did we get this idea that God wants us to be watchers or just talkers? And not walkers. No, God wants us to talk. God wants us also to walk. Our lives are to be show and tell. Just like Jesus' life was. I've got to quickly move on. So in that passage, many first now will be last, and many who are last now will be first. That tells me maybe somebody's going to watch this. Maybe somebody's going to listen. Maybe somebody's in this room. And I would pray that you can get a hold of the passionate call that God has for every one of us. You have every opportunity to move way beyond me in the last moments of history and become all that God wants you to be. And no one can put a throttle on that or stop that, because Only you can say yes to God with no reserve, no holding back. Only I can say yes or no to God. God gives me that freedom. He doesn't govern my life and to slow me down. We're going to go to the passage in Samuel, 1 Samuel. First Samuel, I'm not going to cover all the things just in the story. I'm not going to focus on how big the giant was. I don't care how big the giant is. I pray that all of us would say that. I don't care how big the giants are. My God has got it. Doesn't matter how big he is. Doesn't matter how threatening. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to talk about his size and, you know, the javelin and his sword and all of that stuff. No, I'm not going to focus on that this morning. We just have a few moments. I want to focus, first of all, on the goal that I have for my two boys. And I would pray that whether your children are young or old, that you would understand the importance of this goal. And this is that every parent, every child, every person experience the anointing of the Holy Spirit on our lives in a mighty way. Say mighty way. Not a Mickey way. Have you heard of Mickey? Mickey Mouse? We have too many Mickey Mouses in church. Church is full of church mice. God has not called us to be Mickey Mouse. He's called us to be mighty warriors. And so the goal of my family, my life, and I pray every parent is that our children become clothed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand that the Word of God says that even during the tribulation, there are going to be 12,000 from each of the tribes that are virtuous that are going to carry the message. That's talking about the Jews that are going to carry the message. There's going to be ministry to the Jewish nation. That tells me God is in preparation right now. If God is in preparation, there's going to be 144,000 Jews. Then it seems logical to me that I should read Acts chapter 2, where it says, "And in those days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That's a promise for me. It's a promise for the entirety of the church. So the goal of every parent, every individual, this isn't just for parents, it's for every individual. Father, I do not want to live and die without being clothed with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to share with you these verses quickly. Chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16. Drop down to verse 13. I'm not going to focus on the fact that Samuel had humanity in his eyes and he would have chose the wrong one if he had just chose the first one. But verse 12 tells us, "So Jesse sent for him. He was ruddy and handsome with pleasant eyes. And the Lord said, 'This is the one, anoint him.' So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the olive oil he had brought and poured it on David's head." I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You can read your own translation. This is verse 13, the end of the verse. But the New Living Translation says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him from that day on." If you're a parent, that should be your prayer and your mission. If you're an individual and you say, "I feel more like a mouse in the kingdom than one who is clothed with the anointing and the power of God," then I would challenge you, start praying that God would clothe you with the fullness of His Holy Spirit power. This is what the Word promises. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The first goal from this story is to recognize, just as Jesus told the disciples, you cannot go anywhere without the anointing. Stay in that upper room until you've received. David was not directed anywhere until the Holy Spirit came upon him. You remember, Jesus was not sent on commission until the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The goal is to be clothed mightily with the Spirit of the Lord. The second point I want you to take with you today is that the goal, I believe, of every one of us as individuals and all of us as parents and grandparents is to individually live a fearless life. No fear of the enemy. And we see this in David's life. You know, he was very talented, obviously. You know, you see from the start, he's handsome, pleasant eyes, ruddy. But he also, it tells us in verse 18, was a talented harp player. You ever wondered what he was playing and singing? How about going to the songbook? You have a songbook in your Bible? It's called Psalms. Psalms. He was a psalmist. He was a worshiper. He was talented. Not only that, he's brave. Brave-hearted. Courageous. He's strong. He had good judgment and is a handsome young man. And sometimes, maybe in the natural, we would look at these kinds of things and say, okay, ruddy, handsome, pleasant, musically talented, brave, strong, good judgment. We have character traits here. We have physical traits here. And it's appropriate for us to pray over all of those things for our children. There's nothing wrong with that. And you as an individual can pray this over your own life, that the Lord would bless you with these things. And I believe that's part of a parent's ministry to their children, that God doesn't make any ugly ducklings. God doesn't make any mistakes. And so when we have people look at us and look at my son a little strange, I just know that they don't quite understand that God has blessings and packages that don't all look the same. As a matter of fact, none of us look the same. And as a matter of fact, all of you were not the first pick for the ball team either. And all of you ladies didn't win all the beauty contests. And all of you didn't win the spelling bees. And all of you didn't learn to drive a stick shift very quickly. And all of you didn't learn it the first time. You had to go back the second time and the third time and the fourth time. And so the point is that God has made us all different. But don't be distracted by the superstars and say it's only for them. Understand, God made you to be His superstar too. And He made you to be empowered and anointed and sent with a call and a mission. All these things we see in David. We see that the army of Israel, they struggle with this thing about fear. I mean, I read this and it grabbed me a little differently this time. We see in verse 20 David left the sheep with another shepherd, set out early the next morning with gifts. This is chapter 17, verse 20. So David leaves early with gifts. He's heading out to the battle. He arrived at the outskirts of the camp. And when David is arriving at the outskirts of the camp, there's a lot of noise going on with all these Israelites. In fact, my translation says that the Israelites, they were just leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. And as I was reading this time, the Father, the Holy Spirit, I believe, spoke to me and said, in the church, we've learned how to make noise and have battle cries, but we have not necessarily been moving fearless and in the anointing of God. And so David comes, and here they're all getting ready. Oh, we're going to go out to the battlefield. Oh, come on, John. Come on, Pete, let's make some noise. They're making a lot of noise. And here David is coming up on all of these noisy Israelites who are full of fear. All of them, the king, all of them are full of fear. If Satan can paralyze us with fear, he will shut us down. He'll shut us down. I have written in my Bible that a fearful leader is a worthless leader. A fearful army is a worthless army. It will not accomplish anything of value. Regardless of how loud we shout and how great our battle cries are. Now that day on Israel's field, there's one individual who is not making a lot of noise. I would pray, if you're not the noisy type, somebody said, oh, you're those Pentecostal charismatic, you make a lot of noise over there, right? I mean, if we can only have power or noise, presence or noise, victory or noise, I'm going to say, let's have the power of God. Let's have the presence of God. Let's have the victory of God and skip all the noise. However, in the camp of the Lord, there's a shout of victory, because victory is when we should be celebrating.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.